written on the board, the words, the Father's provision. Ask for your prayers tonight as we endeavor to share this burden with you. I felt like the Lord has laid on our heart. When it felt like the Lord had spoken to our heart about this, we didn't know that we would share this on Father's Day. I don't know who came up with Father's Day. It might have been Hallmark for all I know. I don't know. But sounds like a good idea to honor fathers on a day, mothers on another day. Should honor them every day, as the Bible says. But it's not a bad idea to take maybe a day out of the year and honor those that have specific responsibilities. But this message does tie into some of the thoughts that I've had through the day about my own father, about my own life as a dad trying to be a good father for my children. And I think one of the things that I think the most about as a father is the preparation. I can't face life like my children do. Get up in the morning and they probably don't think too much about the house we live in and whether we'll still be there a year from now or where the next meal is coming from. That's my job as their dad. I have to be able to provide for them. I have to be more mature than they are. I have to be able to see things that lie ahead. I have to be able to impart to them things that I know they're going to need in life. It's a pretty short drive from our house to Helen Ballard, where the kids go to school, elementary school there. But we kind of have a tradition. Sometimes I'll drive them to school and I'll try to impart some wisdom over the two or three blocks that we go to school. And to be honest, I try to think of something that will have some impact and maybe help them through the day or even through life in general. Emily said someday she might write a book and try to put them all in there, but I don't know that there's enough to fill a book. But the idea being that I know what it's like, I know where they've been, I know what they face, and my heart is sometimes heavy for what they're going to go through. And sometimes they'll come home with stories about school and maybe something that they went through, and your heart aches a little bit because you know the feelings and the emotions, and you can't coddle them and just protect them. You gotta face that. But my heart is overwhelmed to try to provide for them all that I can. So as I thought about that in light of today, and also this thought, I thought about our Father and the provisions that He has made for us, the heart that He has towards us, the desire that He has when He looks at us, and it's beyond the things that we can see. One scripture talks about His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. Just as my children can't even begin to comprehend some of the things that they'll face in life that I've been through, and I've still got a lot to learn, it even pales in comparison to a God that understands me and knows what I'm going to face in life. It inspires us to have a confidence and a trust in the provision that comes from God's hand. And when you think about provision, and there's maybe a couple different definitions of that word, so just to clarify this evening, when I say provision, I'm thinking of the preparation to meet a need that lies ahead. And usually it applies specifically to a journey, that there's something that lies ahead in the journey, and you take provision to meet that need. When the pilgrims came across the Oregon Trail, they tried to make a lot of provisions for the difficulties that they'd have to face. And if they had a good guide, then he could tell them how many oxen they needed to take, how much food, and the weight that they could put in their wagons. But there was a concept and an idea for what lied ahead in their life, or what lay ahead in their life. And we have a father tonight that goes beyond just a general interest, but one who has a invested interest in our success in the journey that we face. And we can be sure that as we go through life and some of the things that we encounter, that there's a provision that God has made for you and I to be able to face every need and every difficulty that life brings our way. And I'll tell you tonight that it is impossible to live this life without the provision of the Father. Life will tear you apart. Life will destroy everything that you care about, spit you out and leave you broken without the provision of the Father. You reach the end and find that life has broken you. But God has been able to provide for us and give us something to enable us. And not only enable us, but then to lay out the path for us. Because the things that come from the Father's hand, the provisions that come are necessary for my success in this journey. God does not impart things to me just to impart them. They're for a reason. And He knows and understands me and realizes the difficulty that Ken faces. So when I face those things and I find that this has come from God's hand, there's a reason for it. And there's a need that He's trying to meet in my life. When we think about in Romans in the 8th chapter, there's a part of this passage here says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. But the 29th verse says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. I believe in predestination tonight. In the sense that God has predestined every single one of us to be conformed to the image of His Son. He has desired that we would have a life and a relationship with Him. It's of His interest. It's His desire. If you read on down here, it says, and He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We heard a little bit today about the calling that we all have. Maybe it's in different ways, maybe it's in different places, but the call is still there. The call is on every heart to come and to follow Him and to be ambassador of reconciliation for God, to show who He is, to love and demonstrate the life of Christ in everyday living and the things that we face. There's a calling that is there. But we're not just left with a calling to try to stumble our way and try to figure out how to patch this all together. But God has done the work. He has provided not only the calling, but the justification, the glorification, the follow-through, if you will, to bring about the calling and the predestination that He has put in place. If it were up to me, how would I know even where to start? How would I know even where to begin to declare and to perform? How would I even know where to start? It's been mentioned some today about reading the Bible, and maybe it can feel like a newspaper, just information sometimes. Without this provision, without this way for God to begin to bring to life the instruction from His Word, and it is life. It's light. It's alive. It creates and it provides something for a need. But without His provision, it is just words. But when it comes from His hand and He inspires it to us, there's a depth and there's a weight to it. There is a value that far exceeds just the words on a paper. It begins to go down to the heart of where I am and a Father that knows me and understands and has a desire to see a successful life, to see me be able to bear the witness successfully as it should be in His name. There's a place in Psalms, we won't take time to read it, we shared some of these thoughts with those in Jefferson a few months ago, but it talks about God knowing us from the womb. Before our members were even made, they were written down. And it talks about the imperfections of those things. Understanding me completely, inside and out, and you too, both the good parts and the ugly parts. And the Father's heart isn't turned away, but the provision is then made for each and every one of us. The application to the need, the balm, whether it be the instruction, whether it be the knowledge, understand it doesn't necessarily take the need away, but the provision is made to accomplish and to go through what it may be that I have to face. There's another aspect of this. We are trained, as maybe all of us, I think, and we try to help our children to have the right attitude in facing life. You can call it a can-do attitude, if you will, a positive outlook. That if you face things in life, that you can persevere, that you should put your best effort into it, that you should put all of your energy, that you don't do anything halfway, that you should put all of your intellect or whatever it is that you're facing, you need to put all you can into it. But when it comes to the needs that are in these places, it's more than what we're able to accomplish within our own right. The needs that we face, the places that we get into, the need that we have for the Father's provision is more than my strength to be able to say, I'm going to get through this by my strength and by my good attitude. It's too hard. It's too great for you. There is a need for a provision from the hand of the Father. Something that is handed down and said, this is for this place. And you can lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. You can do all that you can, but there comes a time when I'm at the wit's end. And Lord, I've done all that I can. I've put all my whole heart is in this, and now it's You. I can't go another step. I can't traverse this path. I look at what lies ahead, and it's too much for me. I just simply cannot make it through this place. We could write proving the Father's provision if we up here also. And then we find that what God has come from the hand of God, what has been put there, becomes tested and true, becomes of weight, becomes of value, becomes something that later when we look on it, it's not just a moment in time, but now it begins to shine because it come from the hand of God. It wasn't something that someone else put there. It wasn't that I read a book and said, you need to have this attitude, but God met me in this place and satisfied something. He accomplished something in this place that I couldn't have done before. The provision of the Father. I'd like to read an account here of Elijah. 1 Kings and in the 19th chapter. I think most of you know the story of the man that wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And it's pretty well documented, and I don't know much about the man other than some of the things that I've read about what happened to his family. But the loss of his son, and then financially he faced great difficulty. He lost four of his children in a boat that sank in the Atlantic Ocean. Faced many other difficulties after that. But at the time he passed over the water, there's where he penned that song. And part of that song always stands out to me. And it's the part in the verse that says, He hath regarded my helpless estate. Because to come to that place in life is to say, I've done all that I can, and Lord, you must be in control of this. It must be You that has Your hand here. And there isn't any way for me to grit my teeth through this. The pain would be too great. I can't imagine the loss of my children in that kind of place. And all I could say then is, Lord, You have regarded my helpless estate. You've seen me. You know where I'm at. And now I need something from Your hand. And in that place, it was a song, It Is Well With My Soul. The testimony that rang in his heart. It was more than just a feeling. It was more than just, I'll make it through this. But God come down and touched him in his heart and said, It is well in this place. The Father's provision. Life is going to bring us difficulty. Some harder than others. I don't know why some have a harder path. I don't know why some have to face affliction and difficulty and lose loved ones in this life, but I can assure you that whatever lies in the path, it comes from the hand of the Father, and it is by His provision. Maybe not only to be able to get through it, but the very situation itself is needful, that I might gain what's needed. In this place in 1 Kings in the 19th chapter, we have Elijah here. Thanks, Donald. Elijah had just done some pretty impressive works. He had just demonstrated the power of God. Look at this. He cut the bullocks up. He had the water poured on him and the fire came out of heaven and licked it up. You think he'd have been full of confidence and ready to, God can do anything. But it struck fear in his heart here in the 19th chapter if you read what Jezebel said. It says, Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Killed all my prophets, and basically I'm going to tell you that do something to me if you will, but by tomorrow at this time I'm coming for you. You're done. And I want to ask you tonight, when has the devil said that to you? Have you ever heard that? I know I have. You know what? By this time tomorrow, I've got you. I'm going to destroy you. Look at this, what lies ahead. Or if you put yourself in this place, I'm going to get you. If you allow God to lead you in this path, if you allow Him to break up the fallow ground as we heard this morning, if you take this direction, I'm going to get you. I also think of then that scripture that we just read that said, what do we say to these things then? Well, for Elijah in this place, he says, and when he saw that, in my Bible, that is italicized. So when he saw that, of great emphasis, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down to a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and he said, it's enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. It's too much. This path, what has gone on, what lies ahead, is too much for me. It's more than I'm able to bear. Just kill me now. Don't let me into her hand. Don't let her take her vengeance on me. Just take my life. It is enough. It's more than I can take. And if you read on down here, and he lay under the juniper tree, and the angel came and touched him and told him to arise and eat. And one of the things I get out of this here is that Elijah didn't have the strength any longer to go find the food and the water. And there was a famine had been going on in the land also. And I don't know totally where he was at in this place. But the angel of the Lord ministered to him. There was a provision for the Father for this time and this place. And it's something for us to get a hold of, to recognize that I may not know what tomorrow holds or the next day, but when I come to my place under the juniper tree, the angel of the Lord is going to minister to me in that place. And it may be all I can do to simply arise and eat and go back to sleep again, but God is going to have a provision for that moment and that time. We go through different seasons in life. It's not the same as when I'm young, when I'm a teenager and the things that I face, but they have their moments when I say, it's enough. When the emotions are more than I can take. And I know it's right, and it's hard for me to take that route. I know that feeling. I've been there. And I can look on lives of those that are older and the seasons that they're going through. Oh, to face close to the end. That's a time. Maybe under the juniper tree. It's enough. Life is enough. I'm done. But the Lord is able to minister. The provision from His hand satisfies the moment. And if you read through here what this food did for Elijah, it says he looked and behold there was a cake, he ate it, he did it again. And in the seventh verse it says the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. That's part of our message tonight, is that the journey is too great for us without the provision of the Father. There wasn't any food that he could have went and found that would have sustained him that day. It needed to come from the hand of God, ministered by the angel to give him what he needed. Says in the 8th verse, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. That wasn't any normal Taco Bell food. That wasn't just something that you find on the side of the road to sustain me for the moment. This came from the hand of God. And you can't tell me that for the next 40 days and the 40 nights, as that sustained him, that Elijah didn't think back to this came from the hand of God. He sustained me in that moment. He provided the need for my life. In that place, something for him to stand on come the later trials in life. It wasn't even over then. Life can come in waves sometimes. Sometimes it can be one thing after another, and one thing's receding and another thing's growing, and life is moving. But we find that what God has provided for us, the provision for the moment, carries us through till the next time. It's no wonder that he said, don't think of tomorrow. You're not going to win all of your battles in one day. You're not going to be able to look ahead and define all the needs that you're going to have and plan everything out. I'm not a planner, so I don't have that problem as much, but I'm married to one. And everything has to be settled. And it needs to be all laid out. Life isn't that way. Sometimes things happen suddenly that you couldn't even have began to anticipate. And in the moment, the difficulty is hard. The battle is hot. And sometimes maybe it's not even till later you begin to see where God's hand was moving and providing and meeting the need of those places. Made it through there. You can turn back here also in the 17th chapter. There's the account of when Elijah went to the widow's house and there was a great drought in this place. So we see in this story the benefit and the provision given for Elijah. But I also think about the widow woman facing a great drought, already had lost her husband, and now only had her son, and had only a small amount of meal and oil just to sustain them for one more meal. Then it was done. We're going to eat this and then we're going to die. There's nothing left. It hasn't rained. There is no other source. There isn't anywhere I can go to go meet the need that I'm facing. I can't go anywhere else. You know the helplessness you start to feel when the moment comes, I'm going to eat and then it's done. There isn't anything else I can do in this moment. And then along comes Elijah and says, take what you have left and make it for me first. Has the Lord ever come along and you felt like it's all I've got left? He says, yeah, let me have it. Oh, but Lord, this is all I got left. I'm going to eat this and I'm pretty much done. But by the obedience of the widow woman, the 16th verse says, the cruse didn't fail and the meal didn't fail. Day in and day out. The provision of the Father. And when I think of there was a request made today and a prayer made also, there's a request for those that were fatherless, and that tears at your heart. And you meet people sometimes who don't have a father and the pain that you can see and experience. And on Father's Day, you cringe a little bit because you know all of the emotion and all the comments and you feel bad for them. There was also a prayer made for those that didn't have anybody to pray for them, to speak their name out. But this Father has an eye that goes beyond the human eye. And the provision is being made even on the behalf of those that we don't know anything about. Sometimes it's through us. Sometimes it's through the ministry that is ours. Sometimes it's through places that maybe no man knows. God can use anything in those places. But I'm encouraged this evening in the view and the understanding that I have a Father whose heart is overwhelmed to provide. God is able to see beyond just the things that I can see. Sometimes we think we can minister to a situation, and the Lord does use us sometimes. But above all, I'm needy for the provision from the hand of God, because He understands what's beyond the surface. Sometimes folks will act out a little bit, or maybe they'll say things, and you want to deal with that, but there's something much deeper that needs a touch from God in those places. It goes beyond you and me. It goes beyond something more than we can offer. We can put them in contact. We sing that song, I remember who sang it, I think we have it on an old CD somewhere. It says, I can talk to my Father. There is one who understands, who's able to see beyond, can minister to places that I can't. In our home congregation there, we have a lot of unsaved children from different circumstances that have gone on over the years. A lot of parents dealing with that. And maybe there's some here tonight. And I want to encourage you tonight that God has a provision for every unsaved child that you have. That He has a plan and an understanding. There is a way that He is able to reach in ways that we cannot. Sometimes it may be in the soft moment of time. Maybe it can be through a situation that they face. But don't grow weary in your prayers. And know that there is a Father that is able to reach and make, to meet a need, to bring about and from His hand can minister something that we never could. My children are still young. I don't have those battles to face and those burdens to carry in life. But I can feel them. I can feel the weight of them. And I'm at loss at words at what to say except that there is a Father's hand that is able to minister and is able to reach to those places. One of the ladies in our congregation at home is testifying of times that she spoke to her sons, who at times are very, very tough on her. And the Lord has done something that you can't even put your finger on. He's met them in a place and there's a softness and a tenderness, and sometimes it's only for a phone call and then things are back the other way again. But I can tell you tonight, it's a provision of the Father reaching down to those young men and giving them another opportunity to hear the love that their mother has for them and the desire that she has for them to know God for themselves. Having mercy and moving. You remember when Abraham was told to sacrifice his son. He'd been given a promise. Brother Michael preached a message up in Chilliwack that said he rose up early in the morning. God will give us a direction sometimes. Rising up early in the morning is important in starting the journey. But if you read that story, there's part in there when Isaac asked him, where's the sacrifice? The wood's here, the fire's here, we're here, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham's response was, the Lord will provide his lamb. He is going to provide the sacrifice. Many times for us, when God places a call on our life, many times it's simply taking the steps. I'm not sure where the sacrifice is going to come from. I'm not sure what all I'm going to have to put in this place. But I can be sure that when the time comes, God is going to provide for himself and for me to meet the need of this place. Abraham's faith was strong enough that when he laid his son down, was ready to go through with. Wait. Look behind you. A provision was made. Something was put in place for him to sacrifice and honor. And he said, because of his faith, he multiplied the blessing. Remember Zacchaeus? He had some issues in his life. Had an emptiness inside. Had a desire to do what was right. Had cheated people at different times. There was a provision made for him. A time when Jesus came and met him and looked him in the eye and said, Zacchaeus, get down. We're going to your house today. Familiar scripture here in the second verse. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, when you fall into the trials of life, when the things that are brought to our doorstep and to our path, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, and wanting nothing. This is the provision of God. This is the administration. The administering to my life of the things that are necessary for me to be able to stand and to meet Him with an open heart, with a clear heart. It's no wonder then that when life brings its struggles, when it brings its times of great conflict and its great pressure, when the fire is hot, when the furnace is turned up and I find myself in the closest of places, it's time to begin looking for the true valuable things. The things of an eternal weight. Of an eternal value that goes beyond head knowledge. That goes beyond maybe what I've heard over the years or the things even I've seen ministered in other people's lives. It becomes very real to me personally. Becomes something that I can find that changes the way that I think. It changes the way that I stand. It changes the way that I face the difficulties of life that will come in the future. It changes my view of God. It's because He begins to minister and to move and to prove Himself as the ultimate Father with a heart and a desire to provide and to give to us the things that are necessary for our journey. Some of you young people, there's a phrase we say that I guess I count myself as a young person. There's an app for that. You got a smartphone, and if there's anything you want to do, that there's somebody who's already written the program. And I would tell you tonight that if you can remember this, when you face your difficulties, that there's a provision for that. Whenever you hear that phrase again, just remember that through all the things that you face, the necessity for wisdom, the necessity for knowledge, when you're not sure about things, or you feel the pull, or you find yourself in a situation you really shouldn't be in, I want to tell you there's a provision. There is something that has been provided to meet the need of that moment and that time. And it didn't start just yesterday, but it's something that's been put in place, already programmed, already specifically made for that moment and that time. We spoke a little bit ago about the seasons of life. When we're young, we have all the emotions and all the things that we go through and what lies ahead. Sometimes maybe we make the wrong choices. We go on in life, and later on in life we look back and we would have done things differently. some circumstances, some things that occur in life are more life-changing than others. In other words, I can find myself in a situation that because of decisions that maybe I made 10 or 15 years ago, I have to face the consequences of today. And now I would love to go back and change those things, but I still must live with what the result has been. But I want to tell you tonight that God is not done even in those times. That even when I have found myself in a place that I wish I could change, and I wish I could go back in time and remove even the responsibilities that I now have. Remember the verse that talks about the clay marred in the potter's hand, and he reworked the clay to form a new vessel. A provision made even for, shouldn't say even for, made for every man and every woman, despite the choices that I've made previously, to still create and instill a new vessel to glorify and honor Him in my life. Tonight, if you're not where you should be, and you know where you should be, you can feel the moments of time that God has come and spoken. Sometimes it's like the message that we heard this morning. The Lord comes along and points, and Brother Bob asks us, have you ever told the Lord no? Yeah, I'll raise my hand too. There's times you don't really say no, you just ignore it. And maybe it'll go away and then it comes back again. But tonight there's a provision made for us to be able to renew, to bring those things back into place. We have a Father whose hand is extended, and the value of the things that He has provided for us are the very things that we need. It's the value of it far exceeds the struggle, the trial, the need that is there. It's to prove the provisions of our Father. Thank you.